So, we are continuing and finishing our series on spiritual disciplines. And today, it is the last discipline. The last discipline is celebration. And just full disclosure, this was not the original plan. By that, I mean I was not the original choice to share this message. The original plan was actually for Korean Jesus to share. And before you think we're a cult, we call Pastor Chris Lee, he's one of our lay pastors, we call him, kind of as a joke, we call him Korean Jesus because he's so Jesus-like, right? He's not actually Jesus. He's very Jesus-like. However, he visited his family in Korea, and the family encountered COVID, caught COVID, and as a result, their return has been delayed. And so right now, Chris, I don't know if you're logged on right now, he's actually in Hong Kong, but he's in quarantine. And so that's why he was unable to share with us. And thus, I was asked last week, I think, to do this message. And just being honest to you guys, the initial reaction was I really didn't want to do it. Right? Let me explain why. Well, first, the reason I didn't want to do it was so over the summer, we went through all the spiritual disciplines in Richard Foster's book, A Celebration of Disciplines. And we asked basically different members of our church community to share. And we asked different people who were, I guess, like specialists. And so we really wanted to ask them to share and also hear their heart and experiences in these specific disciplines. And I've been like so blown away and impressed because everyone has been so good. It's like their first time preaching and they're like pros. I remember my first time preaching. I mean, I've always been terrified of public speaking. And I remember the first time I preached, I was just like blubbering and saying words, and I couldn't even connect the two things together. But everyone has been so good, and I've been so blessed. And so everyone who's been preaching, can we just give them a quick hand? Seriously, thank you for sharing this summer. And so I was really looking forward to hearing from Chris from the bottom of my heart, right? I was like talking to Nate. I was like, hey, maybe he can like pre-record it and we'll just put it on. I was like so creative in trying to make this work. But then it was just too difficult. So I was asked to do it. So one of the reasons was I just really wanted to hear from Chris from the bottom of my heart. But then the other reason, the main reason I didn't really want to do this message was because of the topic. The topic is celebration. And I honestly just don't feel like celebrating, right? And so I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, PSAM's like, don't give a message, be the message. I don't feel like celebrating, and now I gotta celebrate. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not like super sad or anything. There's a lot I'm grateful for and what I have, for what I have. I'm grateful for everyone who's here. I'm grateful that you guys are here. I'm grateful for our church community. I'm grateful for my family, my wife, my two children. I'm so grateful for my helpers who've been so helpful and just really blessed our family. I'm so grateful for my house church. Even after we've multiplied, we have so much enjoyment when we get together. Still want to do relationship. I'm so thankful that I get to serve this church. Even being up here, as much as I kind of didn't want to share this message, I'm also very grateful that I get to be here and share with you guys today. And of course, I'm very grateful for God, right? Grateful that God is in my life. I'm not walking alone in this journey. He's there for me, right? He's conquered my sins. All that, very aware, very grateful for. However, you know, it's kind of been a tough few years, right? It's been tough. You know, we've had, we've dealing with church people. People have come and gone. That's really been tough. There's been relationships just not working out. Even when you try your best, sometimes your best is not good enough. And so sometimes relationships don't work. And then there's COVID, right? We're all having to wear masks. When will this end, right? I had a house church leaders training. And one of the house church leaders who visited is actually Jonah's teacher, Harry. I don't know if he's here. And so Harry came over. And, you know, once he came in, you know, he took off his mask, washed his hands, whatever. And I'm like, hey, Jonah, why didn't you say hi to your teacher? And he looks at him, and he's like, confused. Who is this person? It's because he's never seen his teacher without his mask on. And so he was actually not comfortable and kind of shy. But that's what happens, right? Like, we don't, once people take off their masks, they're like a completely different person. So, yeah, this new normal of masks, not being able to travel, right? Like, and that's hard. I haven't seen my father in, I think, like, over 3 years now because he's in Toronto. I'm here because of social restrictions and the travel, everything. And so, I mean, just a show of hands, I'm just curious, how many of you guys, since COVID has hit, hasn't had a chance to travel and see your family? I feel for you. And I think for many of us, maybe this summer was the first time you've done that, right? And so it's tough. It's tough. A lot to be thankful for. It's tough. And then, of course, even like social restrictions, like, you know, lockdowns, just how many people we can gather for dinners. And then there's also like just the normal life stuff that we got to deal with, right? There's, you know, this has been kind of a tough summer, right? I think it's kind of normal if you think of, but it's been tough. And by tough, I mean, you know, we have within our church, we have family members who have passed away, right? Right now, presently, we have several members in our community who is dealing with cancer right now. And so, given all these things, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But do I feel like celebrating? No. I don't feel like celebrating. It feels like I'm on a hike. And maybe you can tell, by the way, say that I don't really enjoy hiking. But my family enjoys hiking. So this, for me, feels like a hike. And usually on a hike, when do I enjoy the hike? There's two points of the hike. It's when I'm at the top of the mountain, right? And then it's like there's a sense of accomplishment where I've like conquered it. And also the other part is like, okay, now I'm halfway done, right? And then the other part is when you come all the way down, you're finished the hike, you're like, I'm done. Now we can get some food, right? So those are the two enjoyable parts for me on the hike. And right now, it feels like I'm at the bottom of the mountain, right? And if you go with people who've hiked, oftentimes I go hiking with people who've gone before. I've never been. And I have no idea how long or how far we have to go. And so I look up, and you see the steps. It just keeps going and going and going. And that's kind of where I feel like I'm at, right? I'm at the bottom of the mountain. I'm looking up. There's no end in sight. And it's not this excitement of like, oh, I get to go hiking. It's the feeling I have is I'm tired. I'm tired. Are you guys feeling tired? Just for everyone, not just me, for everyone, see, who here is feeling tired? Feeling tired, okay. Feeling tired. And so that's the context of me preparing this message, right? Celebration is not what I'm feeling. What I'm feeling is tired. And so at the start of this I remember start of this week, maybe a little bit before, you know, not really feeling this message or this topic, I finally open up my book, Richard Foster's book, turn to the section on celebration, and I finally get started. And when I open the open the book, there's this one text that just jumps at me, jumps out at me because it's bolded. It's one of the headers. And it kind of just really pierced my heart. And this is the first point, and this was the first section. It said, celebration gives strength to life. Celebration gives strength to life. That's our topic, celebration. And it gives us strength in our lives. And as I read that, I was like, oh yeah, this celebration, it's a spiritual discipline. It's not something I'm just feeling or I feel like doing. It's a spiritual discipline that we need to be intentional about and we need to do regularly in our lives. And so I suddenly thought, could it be the reason I'm feeling so tired is due to a lack of celebration in my life? Right? Could it be, everyone here, if you're feeling tired, you just haven't celebrated? When's the last time you celebrated? I know COVID has changed everything, right? Weddings are little, right? Usually that would be a time of celebration, right? Birthdays, now it's just your family, small and intimate. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not the same where you get to celebrate. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is what Richard Foster wrote. He said, celebration brings joy into life, and joy makes us strong. Celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. Without joyous celebration to infuse the other disciplines, we will sooner or later abandon them. Right? Without strength, without joy, you cannot continue. We cannot continue long and maintain and endure without the joy and strength in our life. And so when the Israelites, when they were slaves under captivity in Egypt, right, they were suffering, they were toiling, there was very little joy in their life. However, right, we know that Moses, through the power and direction of God, they were delivered out of Egypt and set free from being slaves, and they inherited the identity as sons and daughters. In Exodus 20, verse 8-10, this is what God said. He said in response, he knew they could not just continue with the same mindset and lifestyle, right, as slaves. He said to them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male slaves or your female slaves, or your cattle, or your residents who stay with you, right? So when the Israelites were slaves, they had to work. No choice. They had to work. Their performance would bring consequences and benefits. If they didn't work hard enough, they would be punished, right? If they did well, they would have a better quality of life. By better quality, they would have less suffering, just so you know. It's not like suddenly they're going to live extravagantly, right? They had to earn. They had to work. There was no rest. Israel languished in misery, suffering, and a broken spirit. That's what was going through. So when they were delivered to partake in the Sabbath, it represented, what did it represent? Their trust in God. That's the key. It's all about, when we're talking about celebration, it's really, why do we celebrate? Why are we able? It's our trust in God. And so for the Israelites, it meant God was always working. And so they could rest. It represented that as they rested, they didn't need to earn God's love. It represented that they were no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. And what allowed the Israelites the freedom to celebrate God is that this was their trust in Him. And so God gave the people and instructed them to do Sabbath. They needed to rest. They needed to celebrate, to have strength. Otherwise, it would be the same as before. Go, 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 go. How many of us, even though we are not in slavery, are still perhaps living a life that is reflective of slavery? Where we're go, 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 have to earn, have to get enough, right? And how serious was this? This celebration and rest, look to the screens. And so there's something special about the number seven, right? And so we see in Leviticus, when he's giving instruction to his people, he made Sabbath, which is for every 7 days, you have Sabbath. And then within a year, there are seven festivals. He wanted them to just celebrate more than just once a week, but seven festivals in a year. And then every 7 years, there was something called Shemitah. So it's like a super Sabbath. And then every seven Shemitahs, there was the year of Jubilee, which is like, if I'm to use my kids' vocabulary, it was like the super, ultra, mega Sabbath, right? It was called the year of Jubilee. Richard Foster wrote, in the Old Testament, all the social stipulations of the year of Jubilee are, so this is what happens in the year of Jubilee, canceling of debts, releasing of slaves, planting no crops, returning property to the owner. It was a celebration of the gracious provision of God. God could be trusted to provide what was needed. And so, also notice, besides those things that happen on the year of Jubilee, it's called the year of Jubilee. That means for a whole year, you're not to work. Doesn't that sound amazing? Imagine a whole year, you're not working. You're just enjoying time with your family, right? And just your friends, because everyone is doing this together. And you're eating good food, you're celebrating. And the reason behind all that is a trust in God, right? And it sounds pretty good. It sounds amazing. But I want to tell you, it wasn't easy, right? Can you imagine the trust that is required to not work for 365 days? We're asked to do Sabbath. Today you guys came, so you guys came, thank you. But really what we're asked to do is not give 2 hours on Sabbath. We're asked to give 24 hours, right? Where we just dedicate it to the Lord. And a lot of us have trouble even doing this. Maybe a lot of you were planning, maybe still are, you're planning to go to work later. Why? Because you feel like if I don't do it, right, I don't know, if I don't do enough, and maybe you feel like you haven't done enough, like maybe I'll get into trouble. I need to work more so I can earn more, right? And the whole point of this celebration, it's kind of this year of Jubilee of not working for a whole year and also canceling all those debts. So all these people are owing you money. You give it all up. What does it represent? It represents your trust in God that as you do this, as God instructed, God is going to take care of you. God is going to provide for you. So why is it so important for us to celebrate? Why did God instruct Israel to gather together and celebrate these festivals and holidays? It's because these were experiences that gave people strength. Without these experiences of celebration, they would feel tired. They wouldn't have the will to endure and continue. They needed to celebrate. So that's point one. Point number two, and this is a very short point. Actually, my message is going to be pretty short, just so you know, is the path to joy is obedience. The path to joy is obedience. I know that's not a very attractive point. It's like, oh, we have to obey, right? But that's what's required. The path to joy is obedience. In Luke 11, 27 to 28, it says, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you, right? She's saying to the Messiah, whoever's your mom, Mary, she's so lucky because she gets to be the mother to the Messiah. What a special relationship she must have. However, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Why are they blessed? Why is it such a blessing to obey the word of God? Because it reflects the trust you have in God and the relationship you have with him. It reflects the trust you have and the type of relationship you have. Because if you can truly, obey and follow the words of God in all your heart and through your actions, you're going to live a blessed life, right? You're going to be so free. So why is the path to joy obedience? Because our obedience reflects our trust. That's why. Our obedience reflects our trust. The reason we disobey is because we don't trust God. We feel like we know better. We feel like God doesn't understand. We don't trust that God will take care of us, right? And that's why we work so hard and toil, just like the slaves, Israelite slaves did, right? Because we have to earn. We feel like we're not doing enough. And because of our trust in God we get to experience this genuine, carefree, joyful type of spiritual celebration, right? That's why we get to be so free when we celebrate or have such great celebration, is because we have a trust in God. It requires obedience. I mean, I just think of, imagine a marriage where you don't really respect each other. You're fighting. You don't listen. You know, your spouses, you're asking each other of this, and you just ignore them. And then your anniversary comes along, and you celebrate. But what are you celebrating, right? You're like, okay, well, at least we're still together, right? And it gives you an opportunity just to eat some delicious food and have some drinks and talk about, a TV show. I don't know. But you see what I'm getting at, right? If you don't have that relationship, that trust and obedience in each other, something is lacking when you celebrate. Imagine if you're the Israelites, when they're in the year of Jubilee, they haven't fully given themselves over to this year of Jubilee. They're kind of like one foot in, one foot out. And it's like a whole year. And so I'm sure like at some points you start stressing. You're like, oh man, I don't know if we can maintain this, right? And so this year of Jubilee that is supposed to be so freeing and so liberating and transforming, kind of reset our lives, it just becomes a burden, right? You're like, oh, and maybe like towards the end, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this to end so I can just get back to work. Then you lose out on that genuine celebration and freedom. Therefore, it would kind of be empty for us to celebrate if our trust in God is lacking in certain areas of our life, right? Where we're not obeying. It would be kind of weird to come, we're celebrating because we trust God, but we don't really trust him, right? In every other aspect of life. And so we worship, we're like, Lord, I trust you, you're everything, but actually he's not. And so it does require the path to joy, it requires obedience. My last point, I know it's very quick. My last point is, so what does it look like? I kind of talked about, the celebration gives you strength. It gives you joy. It's kind of a little abstract, but we get an idea. But what does it look like? So here's the practice. Number one, it is a corporate discipline. So what does that mean? You are not to celebrate alone. I don't want to go get too much into it, but I think it's obvious. When we celebrate, you want to share it with others. I remember going to Disney when for the first time with my child, and we couldn't both go on the rides, my wife and I, and so we had to take turns. And so she went with the other, I guess, our other friends who were going together, and I went on the ride alone. It was the Iron Man 3D experience, like it's kind of a moving chair. I remember going on it, and it was like, you know, it was so fun, and, you know, it's moving, and everyone's like screaming, like, wow, you know. And I remember, like, as I was going through it, I would look around, and I had no one to share that experience with. I'd be like, oh, this. There was something really lacking about that celebration and having that great time. And so celebration is a corporate discipline. You need it's meant to celebrate. Celebration is meant to be experienced with others. And then the second thing, maybe because it's like a spiritual thing, right? Celebration is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. And even my wife was just sharing with me, oh, I miss having fun. When's the last time we really just had fun? Right? Celebration is supposed to be fun. And the whole basis of our fun is, you know, we trust God, right? And so all those things that usually would hinder that fun in our lives is removed, right? And, you know, just for reference, like, just for perspective, right? The Israelites experienced Jubilee or celebrated Jubilee because of the deliverance that they received, and they were celebrating that moment, right? We have been delivered by Jesus, right? Of our sins, of our bondage. We have an intimate relationship with him. He's someone who will take care of us, provide for us. Not only is he able and capable, but he desires to do that in our lives. He gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell in each and every one of us. So given all those things, when we celebrate, it should be so fun for us. It should be so free. We should be, like, inspiring in the way we have fun as a church. And so what does that look like? This is all from Richard Foster. It's some of these practical ways of how we celebrate. So he shared, it's singing, dancing, shouting, right? Singing, you guys are all very comfortable with that. We just did that in the morning. We'll do it at the end. We're good at singing. Dancing, I don't know if I've really seen anyone dance. We might sway a little, right? But I want to encourage you to express yourself in that way, just as King David did, undignified, just dancing. A fool for God. And then the other one is shouting, right? There's a time and place for everything, right? Sometimes it's not appropriate to shout, but sometimes it's appropriate. Whenever house church people come over, my son just starts shouting. He's so happy, right? And I felt convicted, like sometimes like Jonah, like inside voice. But you know what? Why not? He's happy. He's celebrating, right? If he wants to shout, express himself, why not? And so I want to encourage us to shout, right? Express that. Other thing is laughter. I know, these are all very practical, so simple. Laughter is a great way to express our celebration. And even in revival, something that happens, there's something called holy laughter, where when the presence of God moves, like, people just start laughing. I've never experienced it myself, but it happens. But even for us, you just need to laugh, right? Sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously, and we just need to laugh. And the person who really does that, and sometimes as a family, we just have these fits of laughing, you know, where at some point, you're not even laughing of the original joke. You're just laughing. So fun. And you guys don't know this. I probably shouldn't say this, but my wife makes our family laugh. You guys might not know this, but she is perhaps the goofiest person I know. And she, recently we've done this thing where she beatboxes. Because we saw this thing, I don't know, it was like some kid's show, and they're like, how do you beatbox? It's very simple. You just say boots and cats. And so it kind of sounds like, boots and cats, boots and cats. And my wife is really good at it, and she's really into it. And whenever she does it, right, first it's like just boots and cats, and I always try to film her, and she stops, and then she gets rid, and she's like, see, wasn't that, you guys are laughing. Imagine, actually, we're it's laughter, right? Laughter, celebrating. Other ways we express, he says, creative gifts of fantasy and imagination. I know. I was like, creative gifts of fantasy and imagination. What does that mean? It means be creative, right? Because of what God has done in our lives, we don't have to always do things that is so productive. It doesn't always have to make money. It doesn't always have to build our networks. Sometimes we can just, it frees us to celebrate by being creative. And so it could be drawing, right? It could be, I was thinking as a family, maybe we would just like, you know, make Bible story videos together, right? And just have fun. Make videos, right? Another one is family events. You can turn it into times of celebration. Other ones are celebrate events like graduations or raise. And remember, the motive behind all these things is our trust in God. That's what is bringing out the celebration. And then, of course, there's also festivals of our culture that we can celebrate. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. I know at SP, all the house churches, we celebrate Thanksgiving together. And something I always really enjoy, we come together as a family. People are just, I don't know why this is, but when we don't do house church discussion, people are like really enjoying themselves, right? Maybe it's nothing wrong with the discussion, but maybe you just got to mix it up. We have to celebrate, right? And so this time of celebration where you just share where you're grateful and you break bread and play some games and enjoy each other's company, there's something special. And for me, the one that I really miss where we get to celebrate is our SP retreat, right? I really miss our SP retreat where as a church we would come together, we would worship together, minister to each other, minister to God together. Oftentimes we would have the different plants coming together, recognizing the faithfulness and goodness of God and what he's done, right? And then he's there, he's moving. I mean, that's what I really miss. And finally, here are the benefits, right? Here are the benefits. And so I don't have this on the screen, but just let it speak to you. Here are the benefits. The most important thing in celebration is it saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. Of all people, we should be the most free, alive, and interesting. This is all from Richard Foster's book. Celebration helps us relax and enjoy the good things on the earth. Celebration can be an effective antidote for the periodic sadness that can constrict and impress our hearts. Celebration can also give us perspective. We can laugh at ourselves. We come to see that the causes we champion are not nearly so monumental as we would like to believe. Celebration multiplies. Joy begets joy. Laughter begets laughter. And so I'll finish with this verse. Philippians 4:4. And this kind of pulls it all together where it says, Paul tells us and instructs us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So I want to invite the worship team up. And so today, I actually wanted to leave a little bit more time at the end that we could partake in this spiritual discipline together. And so there's two parts we're going to do. The first part is it's going to kind of have a ministry time, right? Because we can't, again, we can't just celebrate. if we're, our trust is not in the Lord, right? What do we do? I mean, Paul shows us we should rejoice always, but what if, it's not to say, like, no matter what, just turn off your brain and we just rejoice, right? There's a process where we need to go through that process of, I guess, making use of the spiritual disciplines of prayer, of meditation, where we can get that trust back. And the inspiration that we can kind of follow comes from Philippians 4, 6, 7. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. In the KJV, it says, be careful for nothing. Why are we so careful? Why do I tell my kids, especially my son, be careful when he's holding like a cup of water? Because I don't trust him, right? Many times he spilt that water. And so I say, be careful. And Paul says, be careful for nothing. He wants us to not be distrustful. He wants us to be full of trust. And so if there are things in your life that you're anxious about, you just don't trust God about, he wants us to go through this process of prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. And so this is where you can make use of the spiritual disciplines, prayer, meditation. And I want to highlight thanksgiving, right? That's where we really got to look at things and be grateful. Instead of focusing on the things we don't have, we need to focus on the things that we do have. And as we focus, and what happens? You focus on the things you don't have, and those things consume you. You don't appreciate the things you have. But when you focus on the things you do have, and we have so much, even just what we received by what Jesus did on the cross, as we focus on those things, the things we lack start to be consumed by the things that we have. And the result is a peace that transcends all understanding that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you receive that peace, when you've really surrendered everything that you have and submitted all your worries to God, a peace comes upon you. It's because we have complete trust in God. And so that's kind of the first part. I feel like this could be an opportunity for us, right, as a church to experience this spiritual discipline together. And then the second part is we're going to celebrate. So we're going to end with kind of a more upbeat song. We're going to celebrate together. Amen? And so what I'm going to ask of you is to be expressive. And I know some of you guys might be like, well, that's not my style. We all have different styles in the way we express ourselves in our worship. But let me ask you something. In a soccer match, when someone scores their goal, do you see some people celebrate just, no, everyone's going crazy. Everyone's, and they're hugging strangers, you're high-fiving, right? When we celebrate, we're all the same. And it does something, right? It brings unity to us. We recognize we're all the same. And so, I know you guys might not be in the mood. I'm not saying to fake it. I'm saying let's get in the mood, right? And so later when we celebrate, you know, I guess in this context, we're talking about singing, dancing, shouting. Because of your trust in God, you're free to do those things, right? And we're brothers and sisters. We're family. We can be silly with each other. We can be boots and cats, right? It's okay. And so the worship team, they're going to sing a song over us. It's more of a meditative, reflective song. It's Restoration but I wanted to open the altar up. I wanted to invite you guys up. If you're feeling tired, and that's what's going on inside of you, you're feeling tired, the motivation, it just isn't there, I want you to respond. And I know God can do something in your heart, but there's something special when we express it through our actions. And there's something, I don't know what it is, I don't know the connection exactly and the science behind it, the spiritual science, but there's something special for me when I am willing to go to the altar, right? To inconvenience myself in some ways and get out and come out. And so let's do that. I want to invite you guys to the altar right now. Come on up if that's what you're feeling. And just go before the Lord. You can come fall on your knees. Go before the Lord. All your tiredness and anxiety and anxiousness. Maybe you're just like, oh, I'm just not excited for ministry. I'm not excited for life. If that's what you're feeling, come on up. Confess it to the Lord in prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And see what he does.
Bring restoration. Bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration. You bring restoration. Restoration to my soul. You've taken my pain. You called me by your new name. You've taken my shame. In its place, you give me joy. You've taken my pain. You call me by your new name. You've taken my shame, and in its place, you give me. You've taken my shame, and it is paid. You give me joy. You give me joy. You take my mourning, turn it into dancing. You take my weeping, turn it into laughing.
Church, I just want to encourage you with the word that the Lord gave me as we were worshiping, because when Jesus started his ministry, he actually goes to Nazareth and he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they give him a book to read. It's not like he chooses it, but like they give him the book of Isaiah, and he opens it, and the place that he has to read from is this passage in Isaiah 61. And I think a lot of you are familiar with this, but I'm just going to read this over us, because this is what Jesus came from. This was his like inauguration message to his people, that now I've come, I'm the Messiah, right? And this is what you can walk in now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Jesus proclaimed. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks. Foreigners will be your farmers and vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations. In their riches you will boast. Instead of shame, you will have double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. They will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Amen. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery in the burnt offering. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring will be known among nations, their descendants in the midst of peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are the offspring, the children whom the Lord has blessed. I'll rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Yeah, Father, we thank you that this year of Jubilee, God, you have inaugurated as your children, God. We can walk in this, like Israel could only have this once every 50 years, and they didn't even know how to walk in it. But God, we thank you that because Jesus has come, the Messiah has come, that now this is the year of Jubilee. God, because of you, because of the finished work of the cross, God, that now we can say the captives are free, the prisoners are free. God, that we walk in this Jubilee that you promised the children of Israel. And yeah, I just also want to highlight that when God instructed them to keep this year of Jubilee, it seems so impossible, like P. Kenny was saying. And it says in Leviticus 25, in verse 20, but if you say, what are we going to eat on that seventh year if we do not sow or gather our crops? God makes provision for this too. He says, verse 21, I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. And when you're sowing the eighth year, you can still eat old things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crop comes in. So essentially, you know, in that time when we're saying, okay, I'm going to step out in faith, I'm going to let go, I'm going to just trust that there's going to be provision. It's going to be a supernatural provision. God is going to provide above and beyond. And it's kind of like the manna, where there was enough on the Sabbath. There was enough for 2 days for manna. Well, on the year of Jubilee, there's enough for 3 years. And I just speak this over our people today in Jesus' name, that as we walk in the freedom of Jubilee, that there's going to be abundance of provision, whatever it is that we need. God, I thank you that there is provision, not just double, but it's like 3 years worth, God. And we believe this, God, that if you've promised it, God, you are faithful and true. So we praise you, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Let's just continue. And, you know, we're a community. We're in person. Please leave your masks on. But as the people on the altar, they're going through whatever they're going through. Can we come as a community? If you're still processing, meditating, please continue to do so. But if you have your house church members, house church brothers and sisters, friends, please come up. Pray for them. If you have a word of encouragement, just as it was so encouraging to hear the word from Rebecca, if you have a word for them, please feel free to do so.
Bring restoration. You bring restoration. Bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration. By a new name, taken my shame, and in its place you gave me joy. You've taken my pain, you call me by your name. Give me joy, bring restoration, bring restoration, you bring restoration to my soul. My soul. bring restoration to my soul. If
you're able, let's all just like rise to our feet. If you, including the people at the altar, please continue to minister if you're not done yet. Please stay at the altar. And I want to encourage you to join the people into altar. As just I said, now, as hopefully as God ministered to you, spoke to you, you get this sense of trust. And when you trust them, you're just letting that out go. Hopefully the peace of God is upon you that transcends all understanding. And so now we're moving into the part of celebration. Right? Can we be a little silly? We're not trying to be silly, but it'll seem silly if we're celebrating with such joyful exuberance. Okay, so remember, this celebration, as we celebrate and worship, we're saying, God, we trust you. You've taken care of everything. And so now we celebrate. Go ahead.
There's beauty in
I'll
my
help you guys
brokenness.
Out. Let's clap.
I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning.
There's beauty.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom when you captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty. There's beauty in my brokenness. True love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. In my soul, you give me joy. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. My soul, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, you give me joy, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that because of what you did on the cross for us, this Jubilee is not just every 50 years. We live in perpetual Jubilee, where we can, as Paul says, rejoice always because of what you did on the cross for us. Because of what you are still doing, because of who you are, we can trust you with everything. Not only can we trust you, you can do far more in our circumstances than we can. And so sometimes we just got to let go. Instead of trying harder, we just let go and let you be God in our lives, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, everyone. It was great to celebrate with you guys. I don't usually celebrate with my eyes open, but it was actually pretty fun to watch everyone, and it was like a church club. Anyway, we have the Well team at the front. Would love to continue to minister to you and pray to you. Otherwise, have a great Sabbath, everybody.
Give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul, there's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, God, in your love for me. My soul, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that because of what you did on the cross for us, this Jubilee is not just every 50 years. We live in perpetual Jubilee, where we can, as Paul says, rejoice always because of what you did on the cross for us, because of what you are still doing, because of who you are. We can trust you with everything. Not only can we trust you, you can do far more in our circumstances than we can. And so sometimes we just got to let go. Instead of trying harder, we just let go and let you be God in our lives, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, everyone. It was great to celebrate with you guys. I don't usually celebrate with my eyes open, but it was actually pretty fun to watch everyone, and it was like a church club. Anyway, we have the well team at the front. Would love to continue to minister to you and pray to you. Otherwise, have a great Sabbath, everybody.